The title is A Warning Against Hypocrisy. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and their tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and most important seats in the synagogue. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers, and you are not to call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Seven woes on the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the door in the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are. Woe to you, blind guides, you say, 'If anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But anyone who swears by the gold of the temple is bound by that oath.' You blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say, 'If anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But anyone who swears by the gift on the altar is bound to that oath.' You blind men, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, anyone who swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And anyone who swears by the temple swears by it and by the one who dwells in it. And anyone who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced that. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outsides of the cup and dish, and the inside is full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You build tombs for the prophets and decorate the graves of the righteous, and you say, 'If we had lived in the days of our ancestors, we would not have taken part with them in the shedding of the blood of the prophets.' So you testify against yourselves that you are the descendants of those who murder the prophets. Go ahead then and complete what your ancestors started." The Lord add blessing to the reading of his will.
Good job, sir. Excellent, excellent. As you can see, for Glenn, that's not an easy thing for him to be able to read the scriptures. He kind of needs to hold them close like this. But he does it. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you. We're in Matthew, and we're going to stay in Matthew, actually, for the next couple weeks. Matthew 13, next week, we'll be covering the seeds and the weeds. That doesn't mean we're going to be learning about how to roll joints. It means we're going to be covering the seeds and the weeds. Now, as Glenn so eloquently put it, if you have one of those red letter Bibles, these are Jesus' words. And his words are to the religious leaders. And at that time, being a religious leader in Jerusalem, it was very different than what it means to even be a spiritual leader today. Back in that culture, back in that history, daily life was centered around God. Not so much today. What is your life centered around? Work, money, politics, sex? Not that any of this is inherently bad, but it can become your God, and your whole life becomes centered around these things of the world. The words that Jesus is speaking here are rather pointed and kind of harsh. And they're at the religious leaders. And the religious leaders at the time, they had the power, they had the authority, they had the respect of all the people, they had the blessings of God, so they thought. The prestige, the fame, the wealth. They were the rock stars of the day. But they seem to have missed the mark. And that would be kind of a good definition for sin, wouldn't it? They kind of missed the mark, according to Jesus. It's not that they didn't love the Lord or even honor God. They loved other things more. Spiritual leaders loving other things more. Oftentimes, you know, may I speak to those that are spiritual leaders in your own households. Sometimes we love other things more than we love the Lord. Or other things take priority in our house more than the Lord. More than giving thanks for a meal. Let me set the stage for you for what Jesus is kind of where he's at and what he's saying and when he's saying it. It's a Tuesday. It's a Tuesday. The past Sunday, a couple days ago, we understand it as Palm Sunday. So he had just ridden into Jerusalem on a donkey, and there's palm branches, and fulfilling of prophetic utterances, and there's millions of people all there to celebrate Passover, and they're celebrating this man who rides in on a donkey, and they're yelling, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." We'll celebrate Palm Sunday in several weeks in April. But that was Sunday. It's Tuesday. And Jesus has some words to say. He has some words to say, not to the government officials. He's got some words to say, not to the Roman governor and the overthrowers and the oppressors of the occupation of Judea. No, he's got some words to say, and he says it to the spiritual leaders. And Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. You must be careful. Do everything they say, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach." Jesus, not a fan of the religious leaders there. And when you hear someone say religion, what do you think? When you hear someone say religious, what do you think? I'm a minister. I'm a pastor. I'm ordained clergy. I'm a chaplain. I'm a spiritual leader. But I don't think I'm very religious. There's a big difference between being religious and being a Christ follower. So when you think of someone religious, do you think of the Pope, whom we should pray for, who's not feeling very well? Do you think of the Dalai Lama? Gandhi? Do you think of the TV evangelist that you can find on any streaming device? Maybe when you think of religious, you think of the hermits. You think of those that are stuck away like monks in monasteries, or you think of nuns. Perhaps you think of denominations like Jewish, Muslim, Hindu. Truth be told, religious people have gotten a bad rap for a lot of years. But it's even sadder to say, in many cases, it's deserved. I'm going to go over some points that just kind of, you can kind of rally around it or think it through and go, yes, or kind of, maybe not really, about religion today. And do the following things that I'm going to express kind of talk about religion today. So here's your first one. Religious people, well, they just say one thing and they do another. They don't practice what they preach. They talk the talk, but man, they don't walk the walk. They know the Bible, but they don't live it. They teach theology, but they do not actually implement the theology into their lives. They say one thing on Sunday, and they do another thing on Monday. Now listen, last week I asked you pretty point blankly, are you a counterfeit Christian? Nobody's perfect. But some folks don't even try. But they know, but they don't do. They're really good at telling other people how to behave, but they themselves, above their own law, above their own teachings, above whatever scripture might say. And here's your next one. Religious people are too formal. They're too formal. Man, they just like to dress up, you know, and all the garbs and the robes and the suits and the ties and the jewelry and the hats. And they got big pomp and circumstance and the rituals and all the traditions and all the ceremonies that take place. It's big hat and no cattle. You know what that means? That's a Texas financial term. They got big hat, but they got no cattle. All that means is they like to show themselves as wealthy and rich by the big hat and the big car, but they ain't got nothing. They got nothing. Many people like to act religious with their robes and their tassels, and that's what phylacteries are, the phylacteries of boxes of scriptures that are hanging off their robes and the long tassels that maybe we kind of like, as they say prayers, they tie the knots, and they got tassels hanging everywhere. They act religious with all the robes, but they do not know God. They like the sacraments. They'll even perform the sacraments, but only in a certain way, given only to a select few people. They hold on to the formality and the traditions as if that is proper worship, and it has become their idol. They worship the ritual, not the God. And after all, here's your next one, religion is run by clergy. Religion is run by the clergy. They live like special people with special names and special titles. Lots of fancy special clothes that they adorn. They got titles in front of their names. Reverend, doctor, most reverend, honor, father, rabbi. They got lots of letters after their name. PhD, DD, MDivs. I got some of those. The laity, those that are sitting in the pews, those that are the congregation, well, they're not supposed to question the clergy. Somehow the people in the pews and the congregations are there to meet the clergy's ambition. Religion's run by the clergy. Your next one is religious people are self-righteous. Holier than thou. They look down on the pagans. They look down on those wretched sinners, those that have other idols, those that have a spiritual awareness of another kind. They only associate and do things with their own kind. They don't like the people that don't think like them. They don't like the people that don't talk like them or vote like them or look like them or dress like them or act like them. They certainly won't associate with them because they're in their own self-righteousness. And here's one for religion. Religion, it's a money-making racket. Religion is just a money-making racket. You ever heard that one? I've been told that straight to my face. This is a money-making racket. It's all commercial and publicity. Turn on the TV, always making an appeal for money. They can sell you the best handcrafted figurines of Jesus. I've seen them. They're beautiful. They come in black and white and jade, porcelain made, hand-carved soapstone. Man, they're gorgeous, but they're not an idol. Anybody remember, this was years back, the televangelist who was held hostage by God for cash? Unless I raise $8 million, God's going to call me home. Well, God's calling everybody home, brother. You're all going to face it one day. But the reality is, God's holding you hostage for cash. Interesting. Religious people are obsessed with trivial matters. That's your next one. Religious people, they're obsessed with the trivial and the petty things that really don't matter. It's irrelevant. It's beside the point. It's unrelated to everyday life. Churches split over the color of the bathroom walls. Fellowships will divide because the carpet's not the right color. Or we have pews. No, we need chairs. We have pews. No, we need chairs. We should have chairs. We should have pews. We should have chairs. We should have pews. Churches divide over some of the simplest of things. Why are we not singing hymns in this church? What? Drum sets? Are you kidding me? I was told a good 20 years ago, if there's ever a drum set in this sanctuary, I will leave this church. Told me that as I invited a drummer to come play with me. There are people that claim Jesus. These are the people that claim Christ, the religious. I love me some Jesus, but I'm not so sure about those Christians. There's another one. Religious people are always concerned about how things look to others. It weighs heavy on them. There are certain places they won't go, certain things they won't do, certain people they don't associate with. Why? Because they're concerned about what other people might think of them and what others might say about them. You know, this goes back a ways, but when I was in my 20s and my 30s, when I was 20 and 30 years old, I cared about what people thought about me. Really did care about what people thought about me. Then you kind of get into the 40s and the 50s, you don't care. You don't care what people are thinking about you. Then you approach your 60s and 70s, you realize nobody was ever thinking about you. Right? That's the reality. Why are you think way too much of yourself if you think all them people are thinking about you? You self-wrapped, indulgent, because it's all about you. But you don't see that. Here's your next slide. Was Jesus a religious person? We can debate that for the next year. Do you think Jesus would kind of agree or maybe disagree with about some of those statements that I made? You know, religious people are obsessed with the trivial things. Religious people are self-indulgent. They're too formal. It's always run by the clergy. They say one thing and do another. You think Jesus kind of agrees with that list? And the reality is, that is his list. That is his list. They say one thing and do another. That's verses 1 through 4. They're very formal. That's verses 5 through 7. They're run by the clergy. That's 8 through 12. They're self-indulgent snobs, verse 13. They're commercial money-making racket, verse 14. They're obsessed with the trivial things, verses 23 and 24. And they're concerned about how things look to other people, verses 25 through 28. What's the point of all of that? What's the point of that? That he would say that, particularly when says it. There's a big difference between being a seeker of God and someone, or what commonly passes as religion today. You can go through all the motions of religion, doesn't get you any closer to God. You're so busy, right? How does it go? Being a human doing. You're not a human being. God came for human beings, not for human doings. I've come to my point in the ministry here and even at New Life Alliance Church when I've kind of stopped wrestling with God concerning some of the messages that I preach. I think sometimes I can be a little bit too challenging. I think I can step on some toes sometimes. I often know I'm meddlesome, right? Go a little too deep. Sometimes it's a little too serious. Why don't you give me something light? Give me something funny. Can't I just preach on love this year? Oh, it's all about the love. It's all about the love. And can't we just picture Jesus, you know, skipping through the tulips and, you know, thinking love and it's all beautiful and... Why does it always have to be so thought-provoking? Why does it always have to be so deep into the soul? Why do people have to feel all these convictions? I've arrived at this point, the Lord is meaning really for this people and these group of people and the people that I would share with to be the real deal. And the road gets narrow when you start talking about the real deal. This place is for those that want to go deeper. This is not for Christian entertainment. This is not to promote some famous author. This is not to showcase some best Christian music artist. This is a place for those that have a passion for Jesus Christ. Not the fluff, not to tickle your ears with theology so that you feel good when you leave, but to know what it means to serve him, to know what it means to honor him, to know what it means to follow him, to know what it means to live for Jesus Christ, to demonstrate grace, to show patience, to express mercy and compassion, to display the love of Christ that has been given into you that you might give it away. Listen, people serve him and they write books and they write songs and they're mega talented. But they do all those things to serve him, not themselves. How talented is Norvi? Jeff, my goodness, just laying out their lives for the Lord. They're not up here because they want to get rich and famous and because they're trying to promote the newest CD that they've got for you. They want to honor Jesus Christ. They want to serve him with everything they got. And they lay it all out on the line. That's the real deal. The real deal. The ones that implement the teachings of Christ. The real deal. The people that have impact around the world. This place, you, the real deal. We're a strong foundation and getting stronger. The launching pad for multiple ministries all around the world. This place, you, you're a stronghold when others fade away. You're the stronghold when others walk away. You're the stronghold. When others fail, you show them grace and mercy. When self-righteousness, judgment comes upon people, you bring grace. When obstacles abound in people's lives, you pray for them. And you experience the joy of Christ and what it means to walk with somebody out of the darkness and into the light. We are the hands and feet and the voice of Jesus Christ. That's who you are on Tuesday and Wednesday, not just for an hour on Sunday. When religion lets you down, you show them Jesus. You're here because God has marked you. There's something I'm praying, there's something that's stirring inside of you that you cannot accept that it's just normal religion. There's something beyond that. It can't be just the status quo. It doesn't fit who you are. It's not business as usual. That seems boring and routine. It would even seem dry. Religion is too attached to culture and not to the kingdom of God. Religion too attached to traditions and to the ritualistic and not to the movement of God. God is vibrant and alive and active right here, right now. I don't need to read about what he did 2,000 years ago. All I need to do is ask Mom, what are you doing in your life? And he's ready to tell me. You can feel it. It grips your soul and your heart. It makes you think differently. You want to be a difference maker. You can't fit into a pretty little box of customary and usual. Your heart and your soul and your own spirit is too big. Your heart's too big. The love that you have is too big. Deep inside your own soul, you know you're called. You're called to change things within yourself and those that are around you, to shake it up, to stir it up. You love God, but often are just really dissatisfied with religion. So was Jesus. So was Jesus. And Jesus, the Word of God, he set it up. He set it up. These are to be your leaders. These are to be your spiritual leaders. These are the people that are to be who you follow. These are the ones that will sit in Moses' seat. He set it up. And man messed it up. And isn't that a recurring theme all throughout the scriptures? God sets it up and it's so beautiful and it's so right and man just goes to a different extreme and perverts it. There's a hunger in you that only can be called a spiritual craving. You crave the presence but kind of loathe ritualistic behavior. It's boring. It's kind of dry. You refuse to be shaped and defined by the world. When you see pain, you know you're called to point people to Jesus because he's the great healer. When you see frustration, you're able to bring grace into people's lives. When you see people afraid and in fear, you're able to encourage them to stand strong in the name of the Lord. When you see addiction, you know that Christ is the chain breaker. When you face adversity, you do not even fear it because you measure it against your God. My fear is nothing compared to the greatness and the power of God. And you walk in the greatness and the power of God, not in your fear. See, New Life Alliance Church, whether you know it or not, you are dangerous. You're dangerous. The Holy Spirit-filled person of God. Any Holy Spirit-filled people of God in here today? Anybody that wants to be the real deal? Anybody in here like that today? Maybe that's why you keep coming back. You're dangerous. You're dangerous to the evil that's around you. You're dangerous to the demons that want to overtake you. You're dangerous to the lost that do not know where to go. You keep pointing them to the cross. That's what makes you dangerous. Your life is not even your own. You're a child of the Most High God. And you walk in that power. You wonder why you often feel so strange. Well, you're strange compared to the world. You're weird. You're different. You see things differently. You feel out of place in the world. You don't fit into the regular way of doing things, into the worldly way of doing things, even worldly religion. It's just empty and dry. It doesn't fit. I need something bigger. I need my God. I need the kingdom of God. I need the risen Christ. To live for fame would lower my aspirations. I could not sink so low as to live for money. You are an Abraham. You are a Joshua. You're a David. You're an Esther. You're a child of the Most High God. The King has you. And the reality is that losing your life doesn't scare you. Wasting your life does. The text reveals some things concerning our own patterns that I want to go over. It's not just always the bad stuff, right? But there's some serious scenarios when Jesus is speaking to these religious leaders, and so that all the crowd and his disciples hear, that we might want to ask our own selves. So we must be careful to do everything they tell you, but not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. So here's your first question you might want to ask yourself. Are you honest? We must be honest in the way we live our lives. The Message scripture kind of says it this way: but be careful about following them. They talk a good game, but they do not live it. They don't take it into their hearts, and they do not live it out in their own behavior. We must do more than talk about the word. We must live the word. James would write it in such a way as, do not merely listen to the words and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do what it says. It's not enough to hear it. You just deceive yourself if that's all you do is hear it and think you got it. Do what it says. This is being transparent. This is being vulnerable. This is being honest with ourselves, honest with each other, and even those that are around us. And most importantly, honest before the Lord. Do you really think you're hiding yourself from God? Honest with each other, honest with yourself, even when it has to be, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? I'm an idiot. That's being honest. And Melinda's heard that more than once come out of my mouth. I'm sorry, will you forgive me? I'm an idiot. Openness and honesty that breaks the barriers that impede spiritual growth. If you're open and honest and transparent, it breaks the barriers that would impede any spiritual growth. So break the barriers. You want spiritual growth? Be honest. Be honest with yourself. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads, and they put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to help or to move them. So the next one is, are you helpful? Are you helpful? The Pharisees and the spiritual, they're not helpful. They were indifferent. To be indifferent means that they were just uncaring. They were unresponsive to the needs of others. They were apathetic. They were uninterested and unconcerned. They were more concerned about themselves. They were more concerned about what other people thought of them and made sure that they looked good and, you know, presented themselves well. They wore the mask, but they weren't helpful to anyone about trying to get them closer to God. Some Christians have grown indifferent about the sin in their own lives, to the lost condition of the world. They just become indifferent. They're not really being helpful. They're not really being honest. And they judge others so heavily and not themselves. They're critical of the toothpick in your eye when they got a 2x4 in their own. Are you helpful? We have to make an impact for his kingdom. We must strive to be helpful, kind, and caring, and compassionate, and point them to salvation. Point them to where help is found. That's where your help is found. You can have the most excellent theology and not help anybody. Help people. There are people right here that need your prayers. The struggling, physical issues, mental concerns, financial struggles. You don't have to go far. You don't have to travel to East and West Africa to find people to pray for. They're right here, right in this place. These people, they need your kindness. They need your patience. They need your gentleness. They need your encouragement. They need a listening ear. They need a hug. Your household needs you to not be religious. Your household needs you to be a follower of Christ. Display the fruits of the Holy Spirit. You see, because of the spiritual leaders, everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and their tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplace and to be called rabbi by others. But you, don't call anybody rabbi. Why? You have one teacher. You're all brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't call anyone father. Why? You have one heavenly Father. He's your spiritual leader. I've come to do something different. You can approach God Himself. Come, talk to me. I'm your Father. The Pharisees served to be noticed. They desired and wanted the recognition. The Pharisees proudly and arrogantly displayed all of their spirituality. And can you imagine? It's Tuesday afternoon in Jerusalem, and it's packed with millions of people. And there's gorgeous-looking rabbis with lots of phylacteries and big robes and big hats, and the crowd is parting as they walk through. They get the respect. They get the honor. And then there's this little humble guy. Peasant parents. Aren't you from Nazareth? Probably in sandals and a dirty robe. Looking at these pompous, arrogant, self-righteous that are supposed to be leading people to God and saying, "You hypocrites." Not just once. Not just twice, three times, four times. Woe to you, hypocrites! Woe to you, hypocrites! Woe to you, hypocrites! They were prideful, puffed up, and they looked for attention. They weren't drawing anybody to God. And Jesus, the Word of God, God Himself, had set all this up so that people would come to know His Father. And man messes it up yet again. What's the center of your household? Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. We must learn to be humble because we're all students. We're all siblings and brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all His servants, and we're all on this journey together. And the greatest among us will be the servant to the rest. And maybe this last one kind of ties in maybe with the first one a little bit, but are you hypocritical? Are you hypocritical? Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you're full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup, and the outside will be clean as well. Hypocrites are those that act in one way or act in one sphere of life and then entirely different in another sphere of life. Are you the same person in church as you are in the office? The same person as church as you will be when you get out on the road here and somebody cuts you off. Jesus used the dirty cup as an example in the whitewashed tomb just to explain hypocrites. We can just pick on 95. All I need to do is invite somebody out for play some golf with me. I'll find out real quick. Because circumstances and frustrations and pressure in your life reveals who you are. It reveals who you are. To be real, just be real, it's okay. That's avoiding hypocrisy. One of the greatest compliments that was ever paid me years ago, I don't like to make it about me, but when I heard someone say about me, I wasn't even in the conversation, they're standing next to me talking about me, I guess. He's the same guy, this pastor, he's the same guy in the pulpit as he is out of the pulpit. He's the same guy on the golf course as he is in the fellowship hall. He's just the same guy driving the car as he would be at your dinner table. For some reason, Jesus was comfortable around sinners. I'm still trying to fit into this world. I know I don't belong. How about you? You get a sense of something? Holy Spirit of God that just gives you a different dynamic on things? God's talking to you. He's revealing himself in very powerful and very pointed ways. And it's not about religion. It's about a relationship. Because to be the real deal, and if you want to be the real deal, and Tom says he wants to be like Jesus, if you want to be the real deal, you got to know this. Here's your last one. Jesus is greater than religion. Let me pray with you. Father in heaven, I thank you so very much, Father, for the way in which you continue to minister into our hearts and to the depths of our souls. We pray, Father, that you would challenge us, change us, mold us, shape us, guide us, give us good knowledge and wisdom and discernment that we might be Christ-like. Our desire to be honest, to not be hypocrites, to be helpful. And Father, we know we can only do this with you. We trust in you. We don't trust in traditions and rituals. We trust in you. We come before you in the name that is above all names, the sweetest name of all. The Emmanuel, the Yeshua, the Christ, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. And one of the things that you might be able to do, if you're so inclined, is to not forget about the match for our youth. If you have an offering envelope or something, or if you want it, if you want whatever $5 you throw in to be doubled up, just write life. And then we'll know that that's what it's going towards. Thank you.
Okay, if the morning. Okay, so let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning's tithes and offerings. And I just ask that they just go to help us further your kingdom here close at home and abroad. And Father, just use everything for your will. In your name we pray, amen. And also after, if you need a prayer or anything, the elders will be up front to anoint you with oil. And like he said, if you would like to go ahead and give towards the youth fund, you can do it through the church app or here in person. And while it's a matching grant, it's a BOGO. It's two for one. All right. Thank you, guys. Good morning.